Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Stephen had a very cool phrase when people would say, well, what do you think of what they've done to your books? And he'd say, well, what do you mean, what have they done to my books? Well, look at the bookshelf. My books are all there. Nobody's done anything to my books. So I think he has a really great attitude about it, how his books are adapted.
That's director Mike Flanagan in a clip from the documentary King on Screen. It was made by French actress and director Daphne Bay-Weir. The doc is a comprehensive look at the art of adapting America's most prolific author, the horror maestro himself, Stephen King. It features colorful commentary from directors of these King films, like Flanagan, Frank Darabont, and Mick Garris. King on Screen reveals the secret sauce of moving King from the page to the screen by looking at the hits and the misses of dozens and dozens of adaptations. Daphne was introduced to Stephen King's work when she watched Darabont's version of The Green Mile when she was a kid.
It really had a great impact on me, you know, because of the stories, the characters. I think it shaped a lot of who I am today, because I was very shocked by that film. It was something very important, you know, to see those social issues at a very young age, and it's something that really stayed with me.
What is it about Stephen King's work that made you want to direct this documentary?
Well, I think I really wanted to dig a little bit more about the process of adapting, you know, with the directors and talking about their work. Because, you know, Stephen King is so famous today, in part because of his influence on cinema, and also the fact that cinema adapted him so much that people who never read a book, for example, who don't know really much about literature, they know Stephen King because they've always seen at least one film. So it was something that I thought was quite interesting, you know, to dig a little bit about this relation between the author and the cinema.
You've got to make a film that an audience can look at, find themselves in, and at the same time, be true to the original story. That calls for the actual term, adaptation. And I think that you have to be bold in the sense of staying true to material, but also being bold about adapting it so that it fits on the screen, not on the page.
You've said that you didn't want to have Stephen King appear in your documentary because it would have looked like he was sponsoring it. But I'm curious, if he did show up in your film, what question would you most want to ask him?
I think that's a good question. I'm not sure, you know. I think it's always interesting to understand a little bit more about how, as an author, you are able to take some distance from the movies that are made, you know. Because I think when you are writing a story, you've got so many things that you see in your mind, and how are you able to let them go, you know, to focus on someone's mind somehow, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. The most controversial adaptation of one of King's works has got to be Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. And one of the talking heads in your film describes The Shining as a great Kubrick film, but not a good Stephen King film. Why did King hate Kubrick's take on his novel?
Mostly because of the characters and the treatment that was made of the characters. Because you see, when you are reading The Shining, Wendy is a strong female character, and she is not like that at all in Stanley Kubrick adaptation. And even when you are watching the behind the scene of The Shining, you can see how Kubrick is harsh.
Nobody even said roll video.
There's no desperation. Oh, come on. What do you mean roll
Two
video?
Seconds.
We're killing ourselves out here, and you've got to be ready.
I am too. I'm standing right by the
door. Do we play mood music?
No, I can't.
Yeah, but when
hear.
You came out like this, you said,
we're sitting there because they say, wait a minute,
okay.
And then you say on the radio,
but when you
go.
Do it, you've got to look desperate, Shelley. You're just wasting everybody's time there.
I can't even get this.
So it's something that we can feel in the film itself because of the way that she is seen through all the film. Also, the relationship between her and Jack, which is Jack Torrance goes into madness. Like, you don't have like something smooth going into madness. It's like crazy a little bit since the beginning. And I think it's something that is quite disturbing, because in the book, you really have this smooth evolution, you know, into this crazy things that is going on in his mind.
David Cronenberg said to me once, right after The Shining came out, that the reason The Shining doesn't work is because they cast the ending. Jack Nicholson's crazy from the beginning. That works in Kubrick's world, but not in King's world.
He's going there because he is trying to fix his family somehow. And it's not the feeling that we have in the film. So I think those are the things that really trouble Stephen King in that film.
Yeah, definitely. Stephen King is mostly known as a horror writer, but one of the adaptations of his work that is considered by many critics to be one of the best films of all time. I'm talking, of course, about Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption. It's not a horror movie at all. What is the impact of this film?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, with this documentary, we also wanted to break the myth of Stephen King, the master of horror, because we really wanted to give some place for films like Shawshank Redemption, which is an amazing film.
In as much as The Shining means to horror fans, The Shawshank Redemption means a lot to fans that are looking for some kind of hope in the world, that their lives can improve no matter how bad they get.
Well, it took 5 years for me to actually get around to writing the script. After Steve gave me the rights, I know I had a certain ambition for the creative aspect of what I wanted that script to be, and I didn't think I was a good enough writer yet. That's another thing I have to thank Stephen King for, his patience.
He's able to write so much more than just horror, and I think it's like that you can see how much someone is talented, you know, in what in his field. Actually, it's the fact that he's able to write absolutely anything, and I'm sure if he was writing a comedy, I'm sure it would be like he would be good at it, because he's just so good at what he is doing, and it's not just horror. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell he has a sense of humor. You can see that behind the scenes footage. He's very funny. Yeah. Well, one of King's most popular adaptations was Rob Reiner's Misery. Kathy Bates won the Academy Award for her portrayal of the insane, overzealous fan Annie Wilkes. Why do you think this movie resonated so much with audiences?
I think people can identify to James Caan's situation in that movie somehow, you know, that feeling of being powerless, you know. It's something that is frightening for a lot of people, you know, being in a situation where you are not able to defend yourself, you know, and it can be quite difficult to know how to survive.
One really clear example of that dynamic is Misery. We can all imagine it could happen to us. We are all James Caan's character in that movie, and Kathy Bates is so freaking scary.
Last night it came so clear. I realized you just need more time. Eventually, you'll come to accept the idea of being here.
It's a theme that we have in a lot of Stephen King story, the fact of being, you know, locked down in some way. And I think it's something that it's a fear that we all share. And so this is something that's really had a great impact on the public. Yeah.
Exactly. Stephen King doesn't get enough credit for his ability to create intriguing, fully developed characters, especially his female characters. You talked to Taylor Hackford, who directed the adaptation of Dolores Claiborne. What do you think of this film?
I really love that film since the beginning, since the first time I watched it. Yeah, it's a film that I think is very, like, it taps into it, you know. It's perfect because it really captured well this difficult subject.
Dolores is heroic. How does a mother deal with incest? A lot of them know it and just go along with it. Dolores was not about to ignore it. Dolores understood the horror of what her husband was putting this child through. It had to be repaid, and she did, which I thought was Stephen King.
Stephen King is about monster, but it's also about the monster that lives in all of us and in humans, you know, in general. And it's something that he's, well, what can be more horrific than something like that, you know, a father doing that to his daughter. So I think it's something that is like so painful and so horrific that it's something that he explored a lot, because what's more horrible than that?
Exactly. Yeah, very well said. Directors Rob Reiner, Frank Darabont, Mick Garris, and George Romero have all adapted multiple King works. Which director do you think meshed best with King's material?
Well, that's difficult to yeah. say. I've always loved Frank Darabont's adaptations because I think they are so amazing. You know, he's able to really capture the work of Stephen King and doing amazing films with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus, as you pointed out earlier, as we were discussing, your favorite Stephen King film is The Green Mile, directed by Frank Darabont. Yeah. We can't really have a conversation about Stephen King movies without talking about the ending of The Mist. What did you think of that, the way that film ended the first time you saw it?
I think it's so shocking because you are not expected to see that. So somehow, and I think it's so great because it's such an amazing ending. It's the kind of ending that really stick with you, you know, and it's the kind of film that you will remember for years because in part of that ending, you know. So I think it was really the best ending to find, and it's tragic, of course, but at the same time it's like this act of love. I think it's why it's so controversial.
Movies, I think, need an ending. When I wrote the script, I sent it to Stephen King, and my note was, Steve, I gave it an ending and it's definitely a left turn, and I'm leaving this up to you.
The irony is, when we went to the premiere in New York, Steve basically said, I wish I would have thought of that ending for the book. Because if I would have thought of that, that's how I would have ended the story.
That's how Frank Darabont was able, that's how much Frank was able to capture Stephen King universe, you know, to the point that when he changes something in one of Stephen King's stories, Stephen King himself says that he wish he had that idea. So I think it was such a relief, you know, for Frank, because he was a little bit nervous at the beginning to talk about this idea that he had to Stephen King, because he thought it was the right one, the right ending to have. And so, yeah, it was, I think it was great for him to know that King was more than okay with his decision, you know.
Absolutely. If you were going to adapt a Stephen King book that has not yet been adapted, which would you choose and why?
I think I would choose Drew McKee, you know. I really love Drew McKee because I think it's not like the film that is so well-known, the book, I mean, sorry, that is the well-known, you know, it's not the book that everybody is thinking about. But when people, a lot of people love Drew McKee, and it's so visual, you know, it's so interesting because you are able to do a lot of things with a great book, a great story like that on screen. It's amazing all you can do, you know. And also the main character, I think it's such an interesting story because the main character just lost his arm and is like having this middle life crisis because he has to learn everything again. So it's so powerful, you know, to be able to explore that kind of life story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daphne Bayweir, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on King on Screen. We look forward to watching your next film.
Great. Thank you so much.
Daphne Bayweir is an actress and the director of the documentary King on Screen. Find out more and where to watch at WPR.org/beta. Before we go, I want to add my own take to the whole Kubrick King Shining debate. Allow me to take you back to May 23rd, 1980. I'm in my hometown, Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm on my way to the Capitol 6 Theater Multiplex on Granville Street to watch the premiere of Stanley Kubrick's adaptation of Stephen King's novel, The Shining. Uncle Stevie was my introduction to horror fiction, and I loved reading The Shining. The characters were so fully formed that I felt like I knew them. And as I got deeper into the book, I became more and more frightened. It was becoming clear to me that this was not going to end well. But as the end credits of the movie adaptation rolled, I felt very disappointed. I disliked this movie, to paraphrase the late, great Roger Ebert. The whole
"Here's Johnny"
bit really rubbed me the wrong way. It seemed like a scene from a lame Saturday Night Live sketch. Talking with Daphne and watching King on screen helped crystallize why I disliked the movie adaptation so much. As director Frank Darabont says,
"It's a really good Stanley Kubrick movie, but it's a terrible Stephen King movie."
And filmmaker Mick Garris says that David Cronenberg told him, "The reason The Shining doesn't work is because Jack Nicholson's crazy from the beginning." Frank and Mick are absolutely right. There's one bright spot. Wendy Carlos's haunting music fit the film perfectly. Now, I have nothing against Nicholson. He co-wrote the screenplay for one of my all-time favorite films, the Monkees' box office bomb, Head. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. It also makes him a dull character. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Greg Marshall, Ben Perkert, and Daphne Bay Weir.
What you're gleaning from these interviews is groundbreaking.
Don't forget to subscribe to Beta on Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. Be sure to offer a rating. That'll help us build our alpha army. And you can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
Special thanks to producer Tyler Ditter.
I'm your number one fan.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
I understand you're a man that knows how to get things.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Ooh, here comes the boss man.
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
And although it was hard, he gutted it out like he always did.